we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio broadcast today. My name is Bob Arthurs, and it's our privilege to come and share about 30 minutes with you Monday through Friday at this time right here on WMIE. So let me get a couple of announcements out of the way. First of all, tomorrow and Friday, we are going to have Duke Matlock with us. A lot of you may not have got to come to the workshop that we had back in August, but I've talked to Duke and asked him to come in and share some little snippets about his book, Get Up and Grow. And he's got a Get Up and Grow journal that he's produced since he was with us to help us on our daily agendas and create margin in our life, bring greater order into our life. And so he's going to be coming in on the next two broadcasts and sharing with us. There's 21 chapters in the book, and he's going to be sharing briefly about each little topic. And so I encourage you to tune in for the next couple of days. If you missed his workshop back in August, it will be very enlightening. If you did attend his workshop, it'll be a great reminder. And we look forward to becoming all that we can be for God. So coming up this Sunday morning at 10:30 in the morning, we have Richard Roncesvalles, Reverend Richard Roncesvalles, been here in Brevard County for a long, long time. And he is going to be presenting a Christmas program at our church this coming Sunday morning at 10:30 called A Big Band Christmas and the Sounds of the Season. And so we want to take this opportunity to invite you out to participate with that. It should be a great time at Merritt Assembly of God Sunday morning at 10:30. Then tonight we have with us a missionary to the nation of Guatemala. Actually, he's from Guatemala and runs an orphanage there, as well as a teen challenge, started a teen challenge program there in Guatemala. And so if you would like to come and hear him, our team, our youth and children's ministers, actually were serving in his community with teen missions this summer, and it's going to be kind of a combined service tomorrow night, starting at 7 o'clock. I'm sorry, I forgot what day it was there for a moment. 7 o'clock tonight at Merritt Assembly of God. Come and hear what God is doing in the nation of Guatemala. So also, I want to say thank you to Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, 632-9538. We've had one cold spell that came through, and I'm sure that there are others on the way. And so if you need your AC fixed, I do say that intentionally. My wife and I were traveling back from visiting her family in Chicago at one point in time, and as soon as we crossed the Georgia line into Florida, our air conditioner went out. And that was one of those warm winters, and we found that we needed our air conditioner. I also remember attending some Christmas parades when my kids were in marching bands when it was 85. So if you need your air conditioner, your heater, somebody to come and take a look at your electrical system, give them a call, 632-9538. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio broadcast. We greatly, greatly appreciate Carla and Dennis and all that they do, them and their team, to keep Brevard County a comfortable place to live. So we're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 51 today. We have talked about listening and looking, about God, what God has done. Today I want to drop down to verse number 9 in Isaiah 51. And this is a phrase that is repeated a number of times throughout chapter 51 and again into the beginning of chapter 52. So, we've talked about the repetition of listening. We've talked about the repetitive references to looking. And now we're going to be talking about these repeat phrases that are used here that says, awake, awake. Verse number 9, awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Are you not the arm that cut Rahab apart and wounded the serpent? Are you not the one who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, that made the depths of the sea a road for the redeemed to cross over? So the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. And if you've been around church as long as I have, whenever you hit verse number 11 there, you probably want to break into singing the chorus that was created to help us remember that, let the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. And that's the way that I remember that particular verse. And now you know why they don't ask me to sing very often at church. This passage begins, awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Now, I want you to be reminded that God neither sleeps nor slumbers. He never grows weary. So this awake is not like the emotion that we have when our alarm clock goes off of a morning and it is time to arouse ourselves from our slumber and begin to resume functionality. That is not the way that God needs to be awakened. And this is specifically a call to awake the arm of the Lord and to awake in strength. I believe that it is time that we remember that the God that we serve is an almighty God. It's not that he just was an almighty God. It's not that he will be an almighty God. It is a reminder that in our day, in our time, God is still the omnipotent, almighty God. There is nothing too difficult for him, no challenge too large, no burden too heavy. God has all of the strength that is necessary. So if it is not that he is, just not going to hit the snooze alarm again, what exactly is this passage talking about? It says, awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. How many of the listeners to this broadcast right now would like to see the supernatural signs and wonders that we have read about in our Bible, we read about in our history books? We would like to see them again in our day. I know that I would. I would very much like to see miracles become a natural, normal activity in the body of Christ. God is still the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not retired. He is not feeble. He is not infirmed. We just need to say, God, we're believing that today you are going to move in a supernatural way. Are you not the arm that cut Rahab apart and wounded the serpent? We need to remember that God triumphs over the devil and destroys him. And he triumphs over the works of the devil and destroys those things as well. And so whenever we look and see what great victories God has already brought about, that is not just to create a nice little memory. It is to spur us on to believe for whatever we are facing at this particular moment in time. So when you read the Bible and you read about a great miracle, say, God, you can still do that. When you read about God healing the blind, God, you can still do that. When you read about God healing the lame, God, you can still do that. When you read about entire cities coming to put their faith in Jesus Christ, God, you can still do that in 2016. Boy, you realize that we're just a little over about 31, 32 days away from 2017. I'll have to really watch myself and make sure that I say 2017 instead of 2016. God's the same. He's the same. He's the same powerful God. There's no weapons that the devil has created in recent history that can overpower or defeat or resist successfully an assault by God. God triumphs over all the works of the enemy. And so we need to remind ourselves. We need to remind ourselves that when we read about David slaying Goliath, that he is still the giant killer in our day, in our time. Are you not the one who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, that made the depths of the sea a road for the redeemed to cross over? And what I was talking about there is just this, because the as Isaiah is writing this under the inspiration of the Lord, he's saying, God, you transformed nature for your people to be delivered. This is very much going back to the parting of the Red Sea, when the Pharaoh and all the Egyptian army was on one side and the Red Sea was on the other side, and God parted the waters, dried the land, and everybody was able to walk over on dry land. And yet when the Egyptian army came, they were drowned in the process. God will move heaven and earth to bring deliverance to his people. There is no reason for us to live a lifestyle of fear. And so today, you may see an insurmountable problem on your right. You might see an immovable obstacle on your left. But you need to remember that you have an omnipotent God on the throne of your life. He's the one who created the heavens and the earth. He's the one that stretched out the span of the heavens. He's the one that separated the waters and the dry land. He's the one who separates the day and the night. There is nothing that God cannot do in order to bring deliverance for his people. Now, my job as a child of God is not to intentionally put myself in a trap of the enemy, if you will. I have no problem stepping out in faith, but I don't want to step out in folly. I don't want to step out in just presumption. I want to step out under the command and the orders of the Lord. And when I do that and God goes into the battle with me, then there is going to be great victory that comes. So, it was not a problem with the children of Israel at the Red Sea. It was a problem with Pharaoh. He had a change of mind. He had said, I want you out. I want you out as quickly as possible. He changed his mind, said, what have I done? I've let all that free labor go. And then he went to chase them down. It was a devil-created problem, and God brought about a God-sized deliverance. And here is where Isaiah transitions from just past recollections of what great things God has done. And he's saying, awake and put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Listen to what verse 11 says. So the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, sorrow and sighing shall flee away. So this reminder of the supernatural says God still does supernatural. It is going to be a reality. It is true that there are people who have been carried off into captivity, but they will return, because the same God who brought the children of Israel out of Egypt after 400 plus years there, he is still setting captives free. He is still bringing them home. He is still able to pave the way, and they don't come with mourning. They come with rejoicing. So you need to remember, it is the redeemed of the Lord, the ransomed of the Lord. It is those that God has paid the price for. I just have this thought of when we go to the grocery store and we pay the price for the groceries and then we transport them to the house, we wouldn't have any hesitation whatsoever to say, okay, I paid for them. I've brought them out of the grocery store, but I think I'll just leave them here in the vehicle so that they can rot and decay. We would never think of doing that. In fact, if we happen to forget something forget a bag, and that would be my fault because it's my job to bring in all the groceries while they're putting them away. If we didn't deliver something into the house, into the cabinet or into the refrigerator or the freezer that like it was intended to, then we have paid for something. We have squandered our resources. God does not squander resources. He delivers from and he delivers to. He delivers out of and he delivers into. He delivered out of Egypt. He delivered into the promised land. He delivered from bondage. He delivered them into freedom. He delivered them from the wilderness and he delivered them into a place that had been prepared for them. God is an expert delivery man. So the redeemed of the Lord shall return. You and I need to remember we are not our own. We are paid for with a price. We were bought with a price. And so if I don't own something, I can't sell that thing. That would be called fraud. And so I'm very meticulous about this. I don't like going to a grocery store and pop open a soda and drink it while I'm carrying it around or while I'm into the grocery store and say, well, I'll pay for it at the end. I want to make sure very, very clear, make it very certain that I have the receipt for something. When I walk out the door, I want it to be known. I've got the receipt proving that I have purchased something. And the receipt for you and I are nail-pierced hands, thorn-pierced brow, and nail-pierced feet, a sword-pierced side or a spear-pierced side. It's the hands, the feet. The body of Jesus Christ is the receipt that shows that God has paid the price for us. And so when he pays, when he has redeemed, when he has ransomed, and he has rescued, you know, when I think of the word ransom, I think of something that somebody is holding that is more dear to someone else than it is to them. And so it says, the redeemed, the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and they will come to Zion with singing. I want to challenge you to do something. I want to for you to prepare yourself this coming weekend. Now, I know that there are a lot of people that go to church on Saturday night. There are some that go on Friday night. There are some that go on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And I will be preaching on Sunday night. But I want you to prepare yourself that when it is time to go to church, you are not being drugged to church. You're not lethargic at church. But instead, you are showing up and you've got the joy of the Lord rising up inside of you, that you're not going to have to wait for the worship leader to come and try and pump you up into praising God, but you will have the praise of the Lord upon your heart because he has already given you the gift of life. He paid for our sins. And so he's worthy of praise. They shall come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. Now, a lot of times people get the concepts of happiness and joy confused. Happiness is something that takes place because of an occurrence. Something has happened, and therefore it has brought us pleasure for that moment. And I believe that Christians should be very happy people. I really like the song that Bethel Music has done called Happy Day. When Jesus washed my sins away. I know there's an Andre Crouch version as well, but this one goes, the greatest day in history is the way that the Bethel Music one goes, Jesus Culture. And so I really like that song. There's nothing wrong with being happy. There's nothing wrong with good things happening to you in your life. God wants those things to happen. But there is a joy that passes understanding, and that means that there is a permanence that Jesus has placed in our heart, that we have a contentment with him as our Lord and our Savior, and we refuse to give place to fear because even though our circumstances might change, our Savior hasn't. He's still on the throne. It is a joy that passes understanding. It is a peace that passes understanding because it is something that has its foundation on a timeline that is not according to our events, but according to what has taken place in eternity. So I can sing praise to the Lord. I've been to some memorial services where it was like a revival meeting, because the devil had already lost his last opportunity to snatch that person and carry them off to hell. Jesus had successfully delivered them from this life to eternity. And isn't that what we're all looking for? So everlasting joy will be on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. When God begins to move in supernatural strength, I want you to understand that there are going to be some things that leave your life. There is sorrow and sighing. You know, I've had some conversations with people, and as they're talking, they respond to my facial expressions, and I have to just tell them, you know, I got no control over what my face does. I tend to respond to the feedback that I'm getting. So over Thanksgiving, while we were trying to take a family photo, I was bringing great amusement to my family, because in every photo they were mocking whatever my face was doing. I said, hey, you know, it's nothing new. It happens every year. And so you've got to tell me, because this is what I feel like I'm doing. And so there are things that take place on my face that I just got no controlling. But there are some things that I do control. I can control whether or not I'm going to live a lifestyle of sorrow or whether I'm going to live a lifestyle of joy. I'm not going to live my life in constant mourning. I'm going to be living my life with constant gladness, because I know you say, how can you say that even if you've lost a loved one? I've lost a lot of people that are very dear to me, but I know this, that Jesus was their Lord. He's my Lord. And so it is only a matter of time until I get to see them again. It may be a little bit easier for me because I didn't get to see them every day because I lived so far away from them. So I only got to see them sporadically. And so every time I left, I had the expectation that when I returned, I was going to be able to see them again. And that's the same mindset that we can have as believers, is that when Jesus does come, the trumpet does sound, the dead in Christ rise, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I can look at that and I can say, man, we are going to be having one incredible worship session around the throne. And that brings me great joy, great gladness. And so we say we grieve, but not as the world grieves. Is there a parting? Yes, there is. Is there some discomfort in this? Absolutely. It is very rare that there can be a lifetime that you've spent with somebody and then having someone that you love very dearly and them be, you know, not available to you anymore. That's a very painful process. I would not lie to you. I will tell you that there have been times when someone very dear to me has passed away, and there was a tear. I'm not going to say there wasn't a tear, but it wasn't a distraught, overwhelming sense of sorrow. It was something that said, you know what? I'm so thankful that I was blessed to have that person in my life. And the truth of the matter is, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. Everybody's going to have something that takes place sooner or later that is going to have some sorrow. But we've got to know God's in control of the return. I'm not in control of when the Lord is going to come back. I don't know of anybody who is. In fact, if somebody tells me they are, I want to point to the scripture and say, you are deceived. Because the scripture says that not even Jesus knows the time of his return, except for the fact of when the Father leans over to him and say, go get your bride, and he will say, I'm on it. I'm on it. And I'm looking forward to that. God, here he says in verse number 12, I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid, or a man who will die and of the son of a man who will be made like grass, and you forget the Lord your maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. You have feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor. So there were two conditions of fear that was mentioned in this particular passage. And that one, the first one is, who are you that you should be afraid? That's an episode of fear. And it's because of a forgotten identity that we are the children of God. There is also a progression that is taking place in this later passage. It says, you have feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor. So the first one was that the people had forgotten who they were, and they had forgotten who God was. And you forget the Lord your maker, who stretched out the heavens and the earth. If we forget who we are, if we forget who God is, there is nothing left but a life of fear. That's why many people who place their trust in a job or finances or their physical well-being, they can be rocked to the core whenever that which they've trusted in begins to fail. My faith, my confidence, my assurance doesn't come in the giftings that I have, but it comes from my relationship with God. Because I am a child of God, everything that God has is something that is part of my inheritance. And the continual fear comes because of a lifestyle of oppression. I want you to know that the devil will do everything he can to oppress the people of God, to the point that he will make you think that you are a grasshopper. Before I came into the studio today, I was at the church, and let's just put it this way. There was an insect there that wasn't supposed to be there, and I didn't look at him and say, you know what, that is incredible. I looked at him and said, he's not where he's supposed to be. He's just an insect. He's not supposed to be here. And I eliminated that insect from the sanctuary. God wants us to remember we are not insignificant. We are children of the Most High God. We are His kids. And we need to realize that God will come to our rescue. Why would the enemy oppress what God has paid for? That's trespassing. That's trying to do something. I wouldn't let somebody stand there and do something to the car that I've paid for and just say, oh, you know, that's really too bad. I would get involved in the process. And God wants you to know He is still your God. You are His kid. And He does not want you living a life of fear. He wants you to live a life of faith, of joy, and gladness. God bless you. We will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@Hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.